This morning on the Let the Bible Speak program, I want to address a popular slogan in the religious world, just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. I would say that this is one of the most popular religious slogans today. Maybe you've heard it from a preacher. Maybe you've heard it from a televangelist or have seen it written somewhere. Just accept Jesus as your personal Savior. And we're going to see this morning that there actually is truth in that statement. I believe that we need to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. But before we look at that and see exactly how that is done, I just wanted to mention that often when that statement is used, it's meant in a certain way that doesn't quite match up with the Word of God. And so we want to address that first, and then we want to look exactly how it is that a person accepts Jesus as their personal Savior. We're glad that you've joined us this morning on the Let the Bible Speak program. We appreciate your support and tuning in and listening, and we hope that you'll invite your friends and neighbors to tune in every Saturday morning to this program. And we would also like for you to visit. Come visit us at 290 Warfield Boulevard. Come visit one of the worship services that we have, 9:30 on Sunday morning, again at 10:30, 6 p.m. Sunday evening, 7 p.m. Wednesday evening. We would love to have you. And we have a website. Visit us on the website, wbcoc.org. That's wbcoc.org. Or if you'd like to contact us, 931-647-1324. That's 931-647-1324. What about the matter of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior? Well, the idea of accepting Jesus as our personal Savior is actually a scriptural idea. But exactly how do we do that? In the religious world, some people say that accepting Jesus as their personal Savior means praying the sinner's prayer. And when we turn to the New Testament, we look in vain, it's just not there, the idea of the sinner's prayer. That goes back at least a couple of hundred years, but it's not scriptural. No one was ever told to pray the sinner's prayer. One statement in the New Testament that is twisted to mean that is the idea of calling on the name of the Lord. And that has been twisted to mean pray the sinner's prayer. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, Peter preaches, "And it shall be that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And yet we find if you just read the rest of the chapter, nobody ever prayed the sinner's prayer. Calling on the name of the Lord to be saved involves acts of obedience. And in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, they were to repent and be baptized. Also, we find in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, the idea of calling on the name of the Lord. I'm sorry, verse 13. Verse 17 talks about faith comes by hearing. Verse 13, calling on the name of the Lord to be saved. And again, if you look right above it, that includes believing with the heart and confessing with the mouth. And so there's no praying of the sinner's prayer. So accepting Jesus as our personal Savior is not praying the sinner's prayer. That's something that man has come up with in his theology and church doctrine, but it's not found in the New Testament. Also, some people say that accepting Jesus as your personal Savior is something that is done by faith alone. When you accept Him into your heart at that moment, you're saved. And so they equate accepting Jesus as your personal Savior with faith only. And yet, that is not true either. There are passages of Scripture that tell us that faith, which is belief and trust and confidence, accepting what we're told about Jesus, that is something that shows itself in obedience. It's not just simply a mental thought in our heart. It starts there, and then it prompts us to get up and obey. And faith without works, without obedience, is dead. James chapter 2, verses 20 through 26. We need a faith that works through love, Galatians chapter 5. And so, not our own works, not man's works, but working the works of God. So, what does it mean to accept Jesus as our personal Savior? Well, first of all, it means that we must hear Jesus. Hearing Jesus is the beginning of our salvation. We must hear what Jesus wants us to do in order to be saved. We must hear the New Testament gospel. In Acts chapter 2, where we were earlier in verse 21, to call upon the name of the Lord. And then in the very next verse, Peter begins to preach to them about Jesus. There are cases of conversion in the book of Acts where there's preaching done. And Jesus was preached to individuals. They're proclaiming the gospel. Jesus told his disciples to go into all the world and preach the gospel. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. When we hear Jesus' words, we accept Jesus' teaching. Jesus talks about the wise man who built his house upon the rock, who hears his words and does them, Matthew chapter 7 and verse 24. Jesus said, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things that I say?" Luke 6 and verse 46. We love Jesus by keeping his commandments. In John chapter 14 and verse 24, John 14 and verse 24, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my words. And the words which you hear are not my words, but the Father's who sent me." When Jesus spoke, he's speaking the words of the Heavenly Father. And so to keep Jesus' words, that's how we show our love and keep his commandments. When we hear Jesus, we accept Jesus' teaching. But when we accept Jesus' words, then we're going to have to reject the words of men. We're going to have to simply follow the words of Jesus in the New Testament. When Jesus was on top of the Mount of Transfiguration, he heard his Heavenly Father say from heaven, Matthew 17, verse 5, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." God speaks to us today through his Son, Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. So number one, hearing Jesus, when we do that, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Number two, we must believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Believing Jesus is a part of our step to salvation. Belief is very important. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. Romans 1, 16, "The gospel is God's power unto salvation to all who believe." We must believe in Jesus Christ. When Jesus said to preach the gospel, he said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." Mark 16, 15 and 16. So we have to believe what we hear about Jesus. And when we do that, when we believe, we accept Jesus' claims of deity, who he was. He was more than just a man. All throughout the book of John, especially, John is showing the deity of Jesus. All throughout the book of John, we have Jesus making claims. "He that believeth on him," he that believeth on Jesus, "is not judged. He that believeth not hath been judged already, because he hath not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God." We have to believe not that Jesus is just a good person, but he is who he claims he is, the divine Son of God. John chapter 8 and verse 24, "Except you believe that I am, you shall die in your sins." John 14 and verse 1, "Believe in God, believe also in me," Jesus said. And there are many other places, especially in the book of John. John wrote that we might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. John 20, 30 and 31. When we accept Jesus' claims about himself, then we're going to reject man's false claims about Jesus. And there are many false teachers. John says in 1 John 4, 1 through 3, that false teachers are gone out into the world and they're saying false things about Jesus. Some say that Jesus was just a man. He was not God in the flesh. And other false views about him. Some say that he didn't even come in the flesh. And various other errors about Jesus. So we must believe and accept Jesus' claims about himself. And when we do that, we accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Number three, we must repent toward Jesus and turn toward him, turning away from our sin and turning and following Jesus. In Luke chapter 24, Jesus, after his resurrection, as he is talking to his disciples, says that it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. Peter, on the day of Pentecost, did that very thing in preaching, repent and be baptized, Acts 2:38. Repent and turn again, Acts 3:19. Acts 5:31. Acts 17 and verse 30, God commands all men everywhere that they should repent. When we repent, we accept Jesus' judgment of who we are. Jesus' judgment that we are in sin and we need to turn away from that. Will you and I be willing to do that very thing? In Luke chapter 5 and verse 32, Luke 5:32, I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus tells us to repent, Luke 13:1-5, or we will perish. In Luke chapter 15, verses 7-10, Jesus told the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, and he says that there's joy in heaven among the angels over one sinner who repents. Jesus preached repentance from sin, turning away and turning around and turning our back on sin. And so we must repent. And when we do that, we accept Jesus' judgment of sin and we want to make that necessary change. We accept Jesus' judgment against sin and we reject man's approval of sin. If you look out in the world today, man likes to walk in darkness and sin, and they don't want to come to the light of truth. They excuse sin. They blame sin. They condone sin. They downgrade sin. They try to cover up sin. They try to dismiss sin. And we find in John chapter 3, verse 19, this is the judgment that the light is coming to the world, that's Jesus, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their works were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light and cometh not to the light, lest his works should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, comes to Jesus, that his works may be manifest, that they have been wrought in God. Will you repent and come, turn to the light? We must be willing to do that very thing. Will we repent and turn away from sin? In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 21, speaking of some sinful Christians there in the church at Thyatira, John writes, Jesus is speaking through the pen of John, I gave her time that she should repent, and she would not. Jesus is giving us time now to repent. Will you take advantage of that? Will you do that? So, accepting Jesus as our personal Savior means we accept Jesus' teaching. We hear it. We believe the teaching that we have heard or read. And number three, we accept Jesus' judgment of sinful man. The light has come into the world. And we turn to Christ in obedience. We don't remain in a stubborn attitude or have a stubborn heart that keeps us from turning to Christ. But that's not all. In accepting Jesus as our personal Savior, we must do some other things. Confession is a part of our salvation, confessing Jesus. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 37, when the Ethiopian eunuch wanted to be baptized, he said, "Here is water, what does hinder me to be baptized?" And Philip said to him, "If you believe, you may." And he's talking about believing on Jesus. And then we find Philip saying, "If thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest." And he, the Ethiopian eunuch, answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." We've got to be willing to confess with our mouth Christ is Lord. Romans 10, 9 and 10. And when we confess Christ is Lord, we accept Jesus' position as Lord and Master, and we pledge our allegiance to Him. We are willing to confess Him before others. He is my Lord and Savior. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32, we have to be willing to do that. Not just on the day that we want to be saved and converted, but every day thereafter. "Everyone therefore who shall confess me," Jesus said, "before men, him will I also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father who is in heaven." When we accept Jesus as our personal Savior, we accept Jesus' position as Lord and Christ, and we're going to confess that before others. We're going to pledge our allegiance to Him as a Christian. We accept Jesus' position as the Christ, and we reject man's denial of Him. There are people in the New Testament who had an opportunity to confess Jesus as the Christ, but they wouldn't do it because they were afraid of their friends and what their friends might say or think or do. In John chapter 9 and verse 22, the parents of the blind man, they wouldn't confess Jesus. And some of the Pharisees believed Jesus, but they wouldn't confess Him because they thought they'd be cast out of the synagogue. Acts 12 and verse 42. There are people who will not make the good confession. 1 Timothy 6, 12 and 13. They will not confess that Jesus is the Christ. They will not stand with Christ. They will not identify with Him because they're embarrassed or scared or fearful or some other reason. In 1 John 2 and verse 23, "Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father. He that confesseth the Son hath the Father also." And that's what we're going to have to do on a daily basis. And there were those in John's day who were going about denying that Jesus is the Christ. In chapter 4 and verse 2, "Every spirit, attitude, teaching that confesses that Jesus is the Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not Jesus is not of God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it cometh, and now it is in the world already." The Antichrist is not something at the end of time and World War III and nuclear holocaust and all that kind of thing. The Antichrist is anyone going all the way back to John's day in the latter part of the first century until today, anyone who denies truths about Jesus. They are anti or against Christ. It's not one singular figure who leads a nuclear battle at the end of the world. John says they are already now working in his day and have been since his day. Chapter 4 and verse 15, "Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God." 2 John verse 7, "Many deceivers are gone forth into the world, even they that confess not that Jesus Christ comes in the flesh." So, In accepting Jesus as our personal Savior, we take on the confession that He is the Christ, the Son of God, and we stand with that. And then, we must be baptized into Christ. Baptizing one into Jesus is also a part of the plan of salvation. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 38, we find that baptism, repentance and baptism, is tied in with Jesus Christ. Peter tells them the first gospel sermon, the first converts to Christ, after the preaching of the gospel goes into all the world, beginning in Jerusalem, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, unto the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Which in this context is the gift of salvation. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The promise to all people that they can be saved. The very next verse. In the name of Jesus Christ, by His authority. Acts 22:16, arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. It's tied in with Jesus. We have to be washing away our sins in baptism. When we are baptized, we accept Jesus' death, burial and resurrection. And we model that in our own conversion. We die to sin just like Jesus died. We're buried in water just like He was in the tomb. And we are raised to walk in newness of life when we come up out of that water just like He came out of that tomb on that Sunday morning of the resurrection. We accept Jesus as our personal Savior. We accept His death, burial, and resurrection, and we model that in our baptism. Where does Paul say that? Well, turn with me to Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, we find that very same thing, that parallel. Or are you ignorant that all we who were baptized into Christ, Romans 6 verse 3, were baptized into His death? We were buried, therefore, with Him through baptism. Look at it, through baptism. We're not talking about a physical death, burial, and resurrection, but in the act of baptism, we are dying to the old man. We're buried in water. By the way, it's a burial in water. There's no sprinkling. Some religions today will sprinkle a little water on somebody. It's a burial in water. And if you bury someone out in the cemetery, you don't sprinkle a little dirt on them. You put them all the way under the dirt. So Paul says we were buried with Christ in baptism. We were buried, therefore, with Him, verse 4, through baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so we also might walk in newness of life. Where we come up out of that water, that's when it's new, because the sins have been washed away. That's when the new Christian life begins. Some people say you accept Jesus as your personal Savior, and then at that moment, the new life begins. No, Paul says that it's after we have been baptized. Today, various religious preachers and teachers will say that you're saved at the point of accepting Jesus as your personal Savior, and then down the road, it's a good idea to be baptized later. But baptism is not necessary for salvation. It's good to do as an act of obedience later. But that's not what Paul says. The newness of life comes when we're raised from the waters of baptism. And so, we accept Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. It's a new birth. It's being born again. John 3, 3 through 5. Being born of water and the Spirit. Baptism in obedience to the words of the Spirit in the New Testament. So, I believe we need to accept Jesus as our personal Savior. Accepting Jesus is biblical. It's saying obeying Jesus. And that's biblical. But how do we do that? That's the key question. And then one last point that needs to be made, and that is that after we're baptized, we need to live faithfully each day. And living faithfully as a Christian in the Lord's body, His church, that's a part of salvation as well. Those folks on Pentecost who were baptized, if you come down to Acts 2 and verse 47, the Lord added them to His body of saved, the church. And when we're washed with pure water, the washing of water with the Word, we're added to the body, the church of Jesus, Ephesians 5, 23 and following. When we're baptized into the body of Christ, we accept Jesus' headship over the body, and we submit to Him as the church. He is the head of the church. Upon this rock I will build my church. It's Jesus' church, Matthew 16, verse 18. He shed His blood for it, Acts 20, verse 28. He is the head over it, Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. There's only one head on a body. Any body walking around in Clarksville today has one head on it. And there's, in the Lord's church, there's one head. There are no earthly heads. There's some religious groups that have earthly heads, popes, presidents, other kinds of worldly leaders, man-made leaders. There's only one head, and that's Jesus, and He has not given His authority to another head. We accept Jesus' headship, and we reject man's authority. In Ephesians chapter 1, 22 and 23, He is the head of the body, which is His church. Colossians 1, 18, and various other passages of Scripture. And we submit, just as Christ, just as the church submits to Christ. Paul said the wife is to submit to her husband, just as the church submits to Christ. We submit to our head in this relationship. So we live faithfully each day, accepting that Jesus is going to tell us how to live a faithful life each day, because we're in His body and He's our head, and He's going to tell us how to live, how to talk and act and dress and speak, and many other kinds of things. So we must live faithfully each day. Friends, that's how you accept Jesus as your personal Savior. You accept His teaching by hearing it. You accept His claims of deity by believing it. You accept His judgment of sin by repenting. You accept His position as Christ and Lord by confessing. You accept His death, burial, and resurrection by being baptized into that. You accept His headship by living faithfully each day as a Christian in His body. We're glad that you joined us on the program. That's how we accept Jesus as our Savior. You accept His teaching and claims and judgment and position and death and headship this morning. If we can help you to do that, please contact us. We would love to study with you, learn more about how that we can accept Jesus as our personal Savior. And when we do that, we can personally be with Him one day in heaven around God's throne. And what a great day that will be. Come worship with us. Let's study together. If we can help you in any way to spiritually make your life right with God, let us help you do that. Thank you for joining us this morning, and have a good day.